Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Waves of Glory. This is Apostle E.J. Melvin, and I am your Marketplace Apostle. I'm so glad to have you back today with us here as we discuss and focus on our topic this week, self-control. I want you to know that since we decided to focus on self-control as our topic this week, I have really been tested. I have been going through in a way that lets me know that this is a place in me that needs a little more work. And so when I speak to you today about self-control, I am going to be speaking to you as one who has experienced self-control as well as one who has experienced the lack of self-control. Now, that's the problem. Self-control is not easy at all, even when you determine to be intentional about it. And so I'm going to show you this week how I was tested in the most miraculous ways. I want you to know that part of my marketplace calling is to help create entrepreneurs for this next generation. And so as my part of that, which I do have my own entrepreneur direct sales independent consultant business. However, this week, once I ordered, actually it was a while ago, I ordered my supplements from my company, and they came to the door right where my mailbox is. However, the United States Postal Service decided that my name should not be on the box. Someone with the authority to open the box with a key from the Postal Service decided to scratch through my name so that when the package arrived from my direct sales company, it was not delivered but was returned to the company as undeliverable as addressed. Now, I'm sitting inside the house waiting patiently for this package because I have received packages at this very same address before, and it dawned on me that I should maybe probably look into the tracking number. And once I decided after about 4 days to look into the tracking number, I discovered that my package was already back to its destination, its origination point. Now, let me tell you, I was furious. I was upset to the maximum. I just wanted to grab the letter carrier and choke whichever one showed up at that moment. But do you know what I realized? I realized that that was not self-control. And that as a minister of the Most High God and as someone who's filled with the Spirit, I should be exercising self-control instead of being out of control. Isn't that interesting how we can talk about it and still not walk in it? And normally when I preach a sermon or teach a lesson, the test for that lesson shows up in my life after I've taught the lesson. But this particular lesson that we're talking about today, this focus, this topic of self-control, I was tested all week long. And every day, I called the post office and they gave me their take on it. And then later on, I contacted the business from which I had ordered my package, and they gave me their take on it. And all the time, I was fuming on the inside, though I was trying to be quite professional about it and hold my tongue. So that was an element of self-control in that I did not say the things that my flesh wanted me to say. However, I was still visibly and vocally upset. And so then later on in the week, something else happened. And, you know, we had a glorious 4th of July celebration this week with family and with friends. But there was just one little space in this weekend that just kept gnawing at my insides, and I couldn't seem to get past it. And all it really meant was I needed to exercise some self-control. And I want you to know today that self-control is not just about not saying something when you want to say something. That's a little bit of self-control. But self-control is also not acting in a manner that exhibits that you really want to say something that you shouldn't be saying. So then I begin to deliberate. Where do we obtain self-control? What is self-control really? And I discovered in the Word of God, in the book of Galatians and in chapter 5, that self-control is the fruit of the Spirit of God. What that means is that when you are filled with the Spirit of God, everything that is God begins to manifest. It's like a tree that is filled with fruit-bearing sap. And what happens when the sap rises to its fullest, the limbs on the tree begin to blossom. And out of that blossom comes forth a fruit, an apple, a peach, a pear, an orange, whatever that fruit tree is. And the Holy Spirit is that tree. And he is full. When he is full in us, the fruit pops out. So if the fruit, for me now, I'm just saying this is what I discovered. If the fruit is not popping out on your limbs, then that must mean the sap must be kind of low. And so I purpose in my heart to yield more to the Holy Spirit, to seek his face, to allow him to have his way in me, to yield to his will and say yes. And I still was struggling. I really was still struggling. I even had a talk with my sister about it, and she tried to give me some words of admonishment and instruction, and I was still standing my ground, that I was right in the way I was feeling. I was right in the way I was acting and what God hadn't called me to do. And after the fourth was over and I struggled through one little dilemma that marred my day, I decided to wake up the next morning and pray. And every morning I do pray the Lord's Prayer, that as is found in Matthew chapter 5, and because it tells us that we must pray that the kingdom of God come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I do that faithfully each day. But this particular day, I have been praying the night before, Lord, help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to exercise self-control. Help me to get over myself. Help me to get over this issue that is troubling my spirit, man. And so that morning, and like I said, when I got up and I started to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And something just punch me in the stomach. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Because, beloved, I felt that someone had trespassed against me, had trampled on my feelings, trampled on my self-respect, trampled on my honor. And I, without knowing it, was holding that person guilty of those particular acts. And though I tried my best to control my attitude, I was not in control. But here the Spirit of the Lord stopped me when I began to pray this prayer. Forgive us, O Lord, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And what quickened in my spirit is the very same attitude that I was having toward those who trespass against me is the very same attitude God was saying, what do you think is going to happen if you don't forgive, if you don't release this feeling, this grudge, this attitude? When you come to me to ask for forgiveness for whatever you've done, then you have to receive the same treatment. And I tell you, my friends, I was delivered from that stinking thinking in a twinkling of an eye. I'm telling you today, when you allow the Spirit of God to chasten you and to challenge you and to change you and to transform you by his word and by the renewing of your mind, it will not take all day for you to be delivered from whatever it is that you are being held captive by. It was simply the Spirit of the Lord ministering to me the word of the Lord in demonstration of power that caused me to be set free from that yoke of bondage and broke the chains that had me bound in my spirit so much. So that now I'm understanding that self-control is the fruit of the Spirit, which we've been taught that so long, but we really haven't accessed that particular understanding and that revelation knowledge that if you are filled with the Spirit, Lord have mercy, you're supposed to be exhibiting, excuse me, all of the fruit. Think about a fruit tree. It doesn't exhibit 9 different kinds of fruit. It just exhibits the fruit for that tree. An apple tree bears apple. Amen. An orange tree bears oranges. A peach tree or a pear tree grows and bears the same type of fruit. So if we are a spirit tree, if we are walking in the Spirit, then we should be bearing Spirit fruit. And part of the Spirit fruit that pops out of us when we are full of Him is self-control. Glory to God. You don't have to muscle it up. You don't have to strive for it. You just yield to His presence and His divine influence. The more I yield to His presence and His divine influence from the inside out, the easier it is for me to operate and walk in the things of the Spirit of God and not fulfill this flesh of ours. Because the moment the Spirit of God said to me, this is the same treatment you're going to get when you come to me for forgiveness, I tell you, I was delivered instantly. There was no struggle. There was no straining. There was no crying and tears. There was no tearing of my flesh and my spirit. I wanted God to forgive me, and I wanted to be in a position to be forgiven. So I corralled my flesh and brought it into subjection to the Spirit of the living God. And this word is going out to the children of God today. Because when we think about it, as we talk about in our description of our today's episode, excuse me. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, the indication should be evident. And when I was first filled with the Spirit of God, when I was tearing for the Holy Ghost, I was taught that when you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will speak with tongues. Amen. And so I sought the Holy Ghost baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I had a confirmation in Mark 16 that told me that these signs will follow them that believe, and one of the signs was they will speak with tongues. However, the Spirit of the Lord is now saying unto me, that is not the only evidence of being full of the Spirit of the living God. Most Spirit-filled Christians stop with the Holy Ghost baptism. They stop with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and then our lives do not exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. We are wanting so badly to be used by God and to have Him allow His Spirit to manifest in the gifts, but God wants us to first begin to manifest in the fruit. We must begin to be evident in our manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit so that we can be in position to be used by the Holy Ghost for the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. We don't want, Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. What profit is it to me to preach to you my whole life and in the end be a castaway? So we need to get it together. I need to get it together. We need to allow the Spirit of God to consume us, to possess us so much, to influence us from the inside out, so that the fruit of the Spirit is so easy. It's so easy and it's so evident. So men will say, there is something different about you. How do you exercise self-control? Well, let me tell you, before we can exercise anything in the Spirit, we find when we look into the book of Galatians chapter 5, before it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about what? The works of the flesh. We're looking here at 5:19, that Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That's what my anger, my indignation, my stubbornness, my hard-headed and hard-heartedness was a result of. the work of the flesh being manifest. Now the apostle here delineates what these manifestations of the flesh are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now lasciviousness is an insatiable sexual appetite. That's what lasciviousness is. Also, the manifestation of your flesh, when you're operating in the flesh, is idolatry, self-worship, not necessarily bowing down to a rock or a bowl or a statue, but self-worship is also idolatry, thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. That's idolatry. Witchcraft, stubbornness, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You don't have to be working incantations and concocting potions, but when you rebel against the will of God and the Spirit of God and the way of God and the Word of God, that is accounted as witchcraft. Likewise, the manifestation of the flesh is hatred, variance, emulations, trying to be somebody else, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envies, murders. Lord, have mercy. Our streets are raging with murders. We talk about police brutality and police killing people, but people are killing people as well. The spirit of murder and the work of the flesh, the manifestation of our flesh life, is raging through the streets in the form of murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul is speaking to the church at Galatia to say these are the things that should not be named among you, because if you're filled with the Spirit, as we should be, as we profess to be, as we tarry after him, as we yield to him, if we're filled with the Spirit, he said, the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22, in direct opposite to this manifestation of our flesh, is the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit of God. Your first manifestation is going to be love. Your second is joy, and then peace, then patience, then kindness, then goodness, then faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. But if you back up to verse 19 through 21, there's laws against all of the stuff there. All of the work of our flesh is unlawful and is unholy and is at enmity with God, is hostile to the will of God for our lives. And so what we want to do, children of God, beloved friends, we want to be filled with the Spirit, because when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we will automatically exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. For myself, I'm going to declare, the more of him I have in me, the more of him is exhibited through me. The more of him that I yield to, the more I decrease, the more he increase. And so it is in our power, crucify the flesh with the lust thereof. It is within our self-will to crucify the manifestation of the works of the flesh, simply by bringing it into subjection to the Spirit of the living God, who lives within us. We have the power today to exercise self-will and to deny our flesh the right to be out of control. Lord, let your will be done and your kingdom come in me. So the more we yield to his presence in us, the more we yield to his influence, the larger the manifestation of his presence. This brings me back to a memory, a childhood memory, when my mother had these pear tree in the backyard. I forget what kind of pears they were, but there were these little brown pears. And each year that tree would bear just so many pears. The limbs would be just hanging with so many pears. But one year I saw my mom go out, and she just was tapping on the tree trunk of this tree. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why she was doing it, but she was tapping on the tree. And then that year when the tree bore fruit, the fruit was larger and sweeter and heavier than in other years. And we had more fruit to eat and to share with others around us. And so she was there cultivating that tree. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us today. He wants to cultivate that which is in us and bring it to the surface so that we can bear much fruit. He wants to help us to wipe the slate clean and to allow the sap of the Spirit of God to rise up in us till it's even coming out of our pores, that it's even in our shadow. Like when the Apostle Peter passed by a sick person, the scripture lets us know that his shadow fell on the person and they got healed. It is time for us to come into supernatural alignment with the power of God that is available to us in this life. We are called to be the light of the world. We will not be the light of the world if we are succumbing to the work, the lust, and the manifestation of our flesh. We have the power today to yield to the Spirit of God, to be so filled with Him that men see our good work and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So the more we yield, the larger the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of His presence in us, the fruit of His empowerment in us. And then He can use us in the gifts of the Spirit because we are yielded to Him totally. And He can see the evidence, and people around us can see the evidence. On the other hand, like we said, the works of the flesh are just as much fruit as the fruit of the Spirit is fruit of the Spirit. The works of the flesh are fruit of the flesh. And so I would just admonish you today, as I have admonished myself, to take a good look at your fruit basket. What are you bringing to the table in your fruit basket? Are you bringing love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, faith, meekness, and self-control? Is that what your basket is full of? Is your life exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you walking and manifesting the work of the flesh? Adultery, we'll go through them one more time, 17 of them, and then there's a plus sign at the end of that list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Plus sign, the such like. What the apostle here said, anything that looks like anything like this, that's what is the manifestation of the fact that we are yielding to our flesh and allowing it to just run rampant. But today, I pray that you and myself likewise will stop yielding to our flesh, bring all those things in subjection to the Spirit of the living God, and allow the fruit of self-control to flow out of our being. Then Paul says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. That's verse 24. So you see, it's in your power. It's not just going to happen because you call yourself spirit-filled. You still have a free will. Though you speak with new tongues, you still have a free will, and you can act a fool all you want to. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But the apostle admonishes the church, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Therefore, in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. This is how we are going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, by walking in Him. when we go out the door, it should not be us leading first. It should be the Spirit of God. When people greet us in the marketplace, when they see us wherever we are, they should see more of the Holy Spirit than they see of me or you. It should be all about Jesus, all about God. Not so much so that you are just saying, quoting scriptures, but your whole being should exude the presence and the influence of the Spirit of God in your life. And I'm saying this for me too. I'm not pointing the finger at you today. I'm wanting you to understand that this thing is for all of us. We are supernatural beings, and it is time for us to walk in the supernatural. Amen to that. We need self-control in every area of our lives because people can take you to the place where you are off the hook. I mean, you can get off the chain with your attitude, with the way you roll your eyes, with the way you look at people, the way you treat people. I'm talking to myself first. I had to repent. Yes, I did. I thank God he's a forgiving God. But I want you to know you can let people take you there or you can determine in your heart that you're going to crucify the lust of the flesh. Is it going to be easy? No. It's not a cakewalk, but it is possible. You simply have to spend more time in the presence of the Spirit and yielding to him and allow him to have his way. We need self-control in every area of our life. We need it in our relationship with others. We need it in our relationship with family members, with friends, with especially if you are in a romantic relationship, you need to learn self-control, not learn, yield to the self-control that is the fruit of the Spirit, because that which is of the flesh, oh, it's going to bear fruit of the flesh. So if you just like, oh, I'm just going to steal myself and make myself have self-control, then you are just going to fail. Because what you need is supernatural self-control. What I need is supernatural self-control, the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Because our own walking in the flesh, amen, once again, we can let the worm turn any way we want it to turn. But when we are yielded to the Spirit of God, he will convict us before we get there. He will convict us before we say what we want to say. He will convict us of our attitude. He will convict us of our thoughts. Oh, my goodness. So we want supernatural fruit and supernatural self-control. We need self-control when it comes to our workplace. You may be working for someone or working as supervisor over someone. Whichever way you are, either you're in charge or someone's in charge of you, people will take you there, like I said, once again. And what you got to do is be so full of the Spirit that thing will not affect you, because the supernatural self-control will keep you on an even keel, understanding and knowing God is God, and beside him there's no other. So there's nothing that's going to happen to you that's going to alter the purpose and plan of God in your life. When you remember that, you will not get so upset. Many times we get upset and we want to go off the deep end because we feel that the situation or the circumstances is beyond our control. But you're not in control anyway. It's in the hand of God. Your future, your circumstance, your situation, whoever you are, is in the hand of God. I'm looking at Joseph, the son of Abraham. I'm looking at him, son of Isaac. I'm looking at him today, and it's like, okay, he didn't want to be thrown in the pit. He didn't want to be sold as a slave. He didn't want to be falsely accused. He didn't want to be tossed in the prison. But he did want the plan of God to form in his life. Amen? Amen. Not the son of Jacob. Generationally, son of Jacob. Excuse me. Not the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob. But generationally, he was the son of Isaac and the son of Abraham. Here, the scripture lets us know, if any man be in Christ, he is Abraham's seed. And I look at Joseph and I see what things he had to go through. But he had to maintain who he was in God. He had to exercise control because he allowed who he was in God to be more important than who he was in the flesh and what his expectations were. Just before we close today, I want to just give a shout out to one of the wonderful internet marketers today in the person of Rita Taylor Stewart. She is a fascinating internet marketer. And as your marketplace apostle, I want to try to connect you with her Facebook business and page and help. She's there to give us encouragement and tips and instruction on how to be strong internet marketers. Her Facebook page is Legacy Lifestyle Marketing Strategies. I want you to go, if you have a Facebook account today, go there and like her page. Begin to take advantage of some of the things that she's doing. She is an entrepreneur, an affiliate marketer. She's an author of children's books. She's a trainer and a teacher. You will be blessed by connecting with this woman of God. Legacy Lifestyle Marketing Strategies. And once again, her name is Rita Taylor Stewart. Just having known her a couple of months, my life has been transformed. My understanding and my business prowess has grown just from her sharing a couple of things with me on a hangout and how to do events effectively. So if you're in the marketplace and you have a business or you want to grow and get a business, I want you to connect with Rita Taylor Stewart on Legacy Lifestyle Marketing Strategies on Facebook. Right now, I bless you and I pray for you that God would use you for his glory, that you will allow the Spirit of God to completely and utterly overtake you so that all of the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life so that you might be a witness unto him in the days to come. I love you and I bless you today. This has been Apostle E.J. Melvin, your marketplace apostle. And I want you to remember, you are not here to be average. You are here to be awesome. God bless.